What's up, everybody, and welcome back to the Man Card Podcast. We're very excited you decided to join us today, and every week we like to put out a quote of the week. And of course, this week, and I think we're switching it up from here on out, Mitchell has got a quote for us. Give it away.
Last year, I made $49 million, and it really pissed me off because it's $3 million shy of $1 million a week. Scrooge McDuck.
Hit it. What's up, everybody, and welcome back to the show. Yes, I know, before you say it, we suck again. I think I said this the last time when we started back for this year. We've had a lot of stuff going on. I could make a ton of excuses, but I'm not going to, because I love you guys. Whoever's listening out there, thanks for tuning in. And yeah, just a little quick update right here at the beginning. Mitchell, you actually looked into getting a new intro and outro done.
We will have it soon.
We'll have it soon.
Within the next, you know, plethora of videos, you will see.
Actually, we might have it done for this video.
Maybe.
Because this is being posted in the future.
We are in the, you know, I get so confused with this multiverse shit that we got going on.
Yeah,
you know,
it is
time travel that we're doing.
It's weird.
But yeah, you know, Fiverr dude replies to me. He says his turnaround time is like, you know, a couple of days. Sweet. I'll send it over to you. It's simple, plug and chug, and
okay, I'm totally in.
We're dancing.
Yeah, salsa. You haven't showed me what it is yet either. So, and oh, I don't want to.
You don't want to know? Okay, cool.
Because I want to be just as surprised. Fine. As the viewers out there.
Fantastic.
Because didn't we say, because you said this one we're doing is like $80.
So yeah, so this, there's some really expensive ones. There was one that this, it's a, some girl that does it, and it's $450, but
whoa.
Like, but here's the thing, like, it is, hers are cool. Like,
is it like full on animated?
But here's the thing, it's not like, it's more so like a quick little animation into the logo. It's not like a whole intro. So like, oh, for example, there's a person that had like a little clip art. Their logo was a clip art alligator or something. Yeah. So the video starts, it's only like 10 seconds. It starts with like an alligator in like the shadows or whatever. And then all, you know, it turns its back and you see it's like huge, and then it roars, and then it shrinks down into the cute little thing. It's like cool.
That is cool.
And you know, I'm not paying $450 for, sorry, you know.
That is cool.
10 seconds of something. But we got
like,
one.
It could be like our guy like doing a shit ton of like benching, like
smoking weight, cigar,
smoking a cigar, you know? And then it condenses down into the stamp.
Oh, dude, I gotta see if they could do that.
That'd be freaking sick.
Yeah, it finishes with a.
I bet you there's some smaller animators, uh-huh, that could totally do that, like she does, except maybe not on like the scale.
Well, we talked about it last time. We could do our intro, because obviously we need something for the YouTube videos. But if we, you know, eventually like start little, posting, yeah, on TikTok, we could do something, and then at the end it does like a stamp.
I need to give you the login for that stuff.
Okay.
Because I was on it for a minute.
Okay.
And then I'm once again, like, I'm just not built to do that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So I deleted TikTok, of course, because I wasn't posting. I was just scrolling on TikTok.
Yeah.
So I need to give you the login.
Sure.
Because I'm sure, like, because you actually have TikTok downloaded. So, like,
yeah, I can't
get
off.
You can probably jump between the accounts and make that happen.
You know, I actually, on your phone, you can set limits on certain apps, and it'll send you a notification, yeah, saying, hey, you are on the, I set it for 4 hours for social media.
And you hit
that
in
shit
the
every day, dude.
First 20 minutes of the morning.
Dude, I hit it every day. And the issue is I stay up till like 1 o'clock. So like I already waste an hour from, yeah, 12 right, to 1 a.m.
And rough. Then, that's, know, rough stuff.
Yeah, it is. It's actually sad. It's really sad. But
well, that's okay. We will get the intro sorted out, and we will get, hopefully, our social media sorted out. The problem with being such a small outfit that we have here at Man Card Podcast, namely you and me, is that there's nobody tertiary to do a lot of that like primary stuff. Like that could be their thing, is to edit and post.
Yeah, if we
and
had
that's
like,
what they do.
Yeah, like a social media person specifically for that stuff.
We're not hiring.
Well, no, we're not. I ain't got money for
I
you.
I promise. We don't make nothing. If you want to do that, then let us know.
We spend more money than we make on this thing. So
no, definitely.
This is we've made.
Oh, hold on. We've actually made on Anchor. We've never cashed out, and I think we've made like $18.
That's Crazy. In two over, years.
Yeah, since 2019.
Wow, that's what, you know, 1,800% return from what? We'll just say it started at 1 cent.
Yeah, it was
so
horrible.
So that way the math works out.
Yeah, we'll just say it's a just a man card coin. It's going up, dude.
Man coin. Yeah, yeah.
Man coin going up. Actually, that's pretty freaking sick.
It's not bad. That's cryptocurrency?
That's not just horrible.
You make it blow up, cash out, and then it
What if you did an NFT, and I just came up with this right now, called the Lumberjacks, and every Lumberjack was like...
Different,
like, set up.
I'm sure it's... Dude, they have an NFT for everything now.
Yeah, maybe. But I was thinking, like, you could totally get creative and come up with something that nobody else has.
Yeah, but the thing is, it's not even a matter of being creative anymore. It's not even about the art. Like, it could literally be a picture of a rock. Now it's switched from how cool the art looks to real life
how popular aspects, it is.
How popularity, and then like real things that you can do with it. So like, for example,
The
Bored Ape Yacht Club, if you have one, you get invited to parties, you get, you know, like social, some club thing that invites to, you
sure.
know, private events. You get, you know, maybe a royalty of some sort if you own it and things like that. So, it's all so about utility.
So this is why I think Gary Vee is dead wrong about NFTs, because there's never going to be a situation in which there isn't a real life translation of value from something that you're digitally owning, right? Like exactly what you're saying. Like inherently, the Bored Ape Yacht Club is not going to be as popular as it is now if it didn't have that stuff kind of attached to it, right? Because you could own one of those and not be very high status, right? And then get invited to these parties and meet a bunch of people who are very, very, very high status.
Like Steph Curry.
Right, and exactly. Stuff like that. So when it comes to translation of value, people no longer think of the value in terms of just what they're buying, like art, right? Because art is literally a physical object that you can own.
Yeah.
NFTs, you can never physically own.
So I actually just came to the realization of this about a week ago, because I was watching a video, because I was like, I started thinking, like, honestly, these NFT things are fucking stupid. Like, I've spent a ridiculous amount of money on them.
Yes.
I haven't made any money yet. Granted, I'm in it for the long run. But I was like, this is stupid, because it's just pixel, it's just art, and then I'm buying ones that don't seem to have any utility, and a lot of people are doing this. So it's going to die. So I was like, what is the point of NFT? Why are people so into these, and so, and like, why is Gary Vee all over it, besides it being a fad?
Right.
So it's not necessarily the NFT and art. So the way that I understood it, and the person explained it relatively well, I'm going to shit on it in terms of the explanation, is...
I hope you do, because then somebody will blow up in the comments and be like, this is dumb.
Exactly. And they'll correct me. No, they won't. We don't have people that will listen. Anyways, an NFT is transferred on a blockchain.
Correct.
And if you understand the blockchain, all it is simply just... it's decentralized. And so, for example, if you have a group of five people and I have a ball, if I give the ball to John or so, whoever is in this group,
what's up, John?
Everybody here can confirm that John now owns that ball because they saw it and they have a receipt of it in their mind. They can all confirm. So everyone knows that John is the owner of that ball.
Sure.
If I go out and buy another ball and say, oh yeah, John gave it back to me or whatever, and none of them saw it, they're like, they're skeptical.
They're because like, no, we didn't see ball that was happen. Blue. His ball was blue.
Yeah, that one's purple. We didn't see it happen. There's no receipt of it. There's no proof of it. So John still owns the original ball. So that's how the blockchain technically works.
Right.
What they're going to evolve to, and this is honestly what I think is a great business plan, but I think people are already developing it, so I'm not going to try.
Unfortunately.
So what are things in real life that are hard to transfer between people that have to go through a lot of steps? Buying a house.
Yeah.
Selling a car. You buy a house. You got to get, you know, we'll do car because I know the terminology better. You got to get the title. You have to get proof that you know who owns the title. Is it the bank that owns the title? Is it the you that owns the title? You got to go through, you know, legal things whenever you sell something important like that. What they want to do is you'll send in something like a title or the deed to your house. A company will go through and verify it, make sure it's the legit title.
Yeah, right.
And what they'll do is they'll send you an NFT that correlates to your
the ownership
title
of the house or whatever.
So for now on, you can transfer things like that without having to go through, you know, legal thing, whatever. You just transfer it on the blockchain, and therefore it's a official receipt. So like, if you buy the car from me, you send me crypto or money or whatever, and I send you the deed on the blockchain. Therefore it is official. You own it, everything on the blockchain. No one can, you know,
dispute it.
And hack that. No one can dispute it.
Well, here,
so it's simple transfer of.
And what's interesting about it is it prevents fraud.
Exactly. Right?
So you have a house that's being sold, mm-hmm. and let's say somebody is scamming you, and you say, hey, send me over the verified X company.
Yep. You know, you can trace like it all the way back to the origin.
Carfax.
Yep.
Right? So you send me the home fax, mm-hmm. right? The home fax coin or
correct.
Whatever.
Correct.
And they'll like, okay, yeah, we'll send it to you. And then they send you like nothing, right? Yeah. They won't send it to you.
Yeah.
But then somebody who actually sends it to you, they don't even have to necessarily send you the deed to the house mm-hmm. anymore. The deed to the house can be just existing.
Yeah. The company that created the NFT for it can just hold it.
Can be a holding company.
Yep, exactly.
Ooh, yeah, that's pretty tight.
So yeah, and it's simple because yeah, you can have scammers. Someone can send you an NFT that says, yeah, this is the NFT to the deed of my house, of the house that you're buying. But you can simply just sit there and trace back because there's receipts for everything and says, where yeah. was the origin of this? If the origin wasn't like, you know, a company right. or someone that's verified, it's just, you know, some schmuck in India,
sure.
then boom, you know, it's fake. It saves you a shit ton of money and not being scammed. And yeah, that's where cool. it's going to.
Yeah.
Right and now it's just art.
Yeah. I think Gary V is right in that sense where he was like, he was really going off on saying that, you know, when it comes to NFTs, everything's going to be NFT'd in the future. And I'm like, okay, well, that's kind of a shitty prediction because, like, if you think of, like, baseball tickets, right? It's on your phone. Scan it, boop, yep. I'm into the game. It's
technically an NFT.
It technically already is an NFT.
Yes.
Right? It's just not on, it's not verified through a blockchain. It's verified through a third-party mm-hmm. company who sells
correct.
The tickets, correct. Right? Yes. So I'm like, okay, all you would have to do to put that on the blockchain is to take that company and just have that company do an NFT project for the ticket section mm-hmm. for that game,
yep.
In the, you know, what's the wallet for your NFTs called?
A crypto wallet.
That's okay, really, so you
it's,
just
it's had, a wallet. Yeah.
So they just produce, you know, for you to access through your crypto wallet the tickets for the game. It's in there. Boop, scan it like normal. Nothing has changed mm-hmm. except you're buying it instead of through the third party ticketing company. You're buying it through your wallet.
Yeah. Well, the other thing with the blockchain that's amazing is the whole decentralized thing. So another example is take TikTok. You make a video on TikTok.
Yeah.
And let's say TikTok, the servers right now, they blow up. TikTok's gone. It's down
yeah, right.
or whatever. No one can get access because all the data, all the videos that you created
sure.
are owned by TikTok.
Yeah, yeah.
You take a company that, you know, take TikTok and then let's say they use the blockchain and make it decentralized. Now you have the power, you have the video basically on your own little device or server.
Sure.
And so you're transferring it throughout a whole bunch of people. So if, you know, my yeah. phone dies, no one might be able to see my videos or anything like that go around, but TikTok didn't go down. You can right. blow up TikTok and then TikTok will still exist on the blockchain because
yeah.
people are sending and receiving data because there's no centralized.
That's cool.
So
that's really cool.
We'll see it in the next decade.
But. Yeah. I mean, we'll see where it goes. I mean, really it can go anywhere. It's going to end up being the same thing as the internet, mm-hmm. right?
So Web3 is what they're calling it.
Right. So it's like, you know, in the 90s when they had the dot-com bubble burst, right? Everybody was like, nope, internet's over, done, doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. This is irrelevant. And then they very quickly realized, oh wait, you know, that was just simply, and I think there's going to be a crypto bubble.
Oh, absolutely.
Guarantee.
Absolutely.
And then on the other side of the crypto bubble is the
new innovations.
Ubiquity going to arrive from that set. So I'm excited for when the bubble bursts, right? I think that's going to be great.
I think that's when you get in.
Yeah, when it bursts.
I know. It's going to be hard.
It's going to be hard to get in, but yeah.
It's going to be similar to how people invested in Google and Microsoft back in the day before web, the whole burst and thing happened.
Before web, yeah.
Yeah, and then it grew and made a crap ton of money. It's going to be the same thing with crypto. You can invest in companies early on like Solana or Ethereum or whatever,
sure.
blockchains early on, and they'll eventually boom. And that's what the whole crypto thing is. It's not necessarily even coins.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
just the stock or the, you know, functionality of each coin.
Yeah. So I got a story real quick. Mm-hmm. There was a guy. So when I was at Tech, my dad used to work at Georgia Tech.
Yeah.
Right. And he was a fundraiser in the College of Business. Mm-hmm. And so there was this was the year that Georgia Tech went to the NIT championship up in New York in Madison Square Garden.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So Georgia Tech, just so people know out there, we used to be really good at basketball. We're not that great. So for us to make it to the NIT championship is a really big deal. So they were in Madison Square Garden playing a 3-game series, and my dad was up there hosting donors, right, and doing a conference or whatever. And so I texted him. It was like midway through the week, maybe Wednesday. And I texted him. I was like, man, I'm done for this week. Like, I have nothing going on. And he literally called me. He was like, hey, do you want to come to New York? because I'm up here. So like, we'll split a plane ticket and you can come on up. Mm-hmm. And I said, yes, sir. So I literally was on the next plane out that evening. So I grabbed a bag, went down to Hartsfield-Jackson and flew up there. On the way up there, I was on the plane and was sitting next to this guy. And I was reading the book, I don't know if you've ever heard, Lion.
No.
Okay, so definitely go watch the movie, Cry to Yo Mama Sad. It's really good.
I've seen Lion King.
Yeah, Lion King, it's like Lion King on like 1,000 times steroids.
Okay.
It's like a young Indian boy gets separated from his family and like has to find them years later. Very, very cool. So from that, I finished the book on the plane in the last like 45 minutes of the flight. And then I turned to the guy next to me and he was, you know, business professional, suit, tie. And I was dressed up fairly nice for the plane as well because I was landing and had to meet my dad at like a conference thing. So I was dressed fairly nice as well. And we just started talking on the plane because I'll talk to whoever. Mm-hmm. And he was just telling me about what he did. He was a consultant and he was consulting on like blockchain stuff. And this was back like, this was years ago.
Oh, that dude's rich as shit right now.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And so I'm still friends with him on LinkedIn and I send him a message every once in a while just to check in. Of course, he never replies because
he's rich as shit now.
Because I'm a little shit now. I'm nobody. But he was talking to me about like, hey man, like if you ever need, and this is like airheads, right? They're just full of it. They just don't ever do anything they say. Mm-hmm. And he's like, man, if you ever want to like talk and like get more insight into consulting or like come up to New York and maybe have an internship or whatever, like just let me know. I can't remember off the top of my head what company he worked for, but he was like, yeah, I'm going to, you know, give a presentation on the blockchain. And I invited him to the conference that I was going to. I was like, hey, if you want to come by, there's like at some CEO that's going to be there. So like come by, say, hey, like, you know, we can hang out. And he was like, yeah, just send me the details. He almost came, mm-hmm. But he couldn't make it. Unfortunately, he had to catch a flight out. But that's what I'm saying. So it's like, there's so many different situations where it's like, you just meet some random ass person on the plane and he's the guy in blockchain.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what the hell is this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I sit back and think, Lexi's dad was getting into it back in 2017. And he was like, by that time, Bitcoin was like $8,000. So everyone was like, oh, it's at its peak. It's already blown up.
Right.
And so he was mining Ethereum. And at the time, it was like, you know, 50 to 100 bucks. And I sit there today and I think, because obviously I haven't had any conversation with them in a long time. I'm like,
what's Ethereum at now?
3,100, but it hit a high of like 4,800 at one point. I'm sitting there thinking, if this fucker like had like, you know, let's just say he mined like 1,000 Ethereum at like, you know, 50 bucks or something like that.
Dude.
And he kept it up until this point.
It's crypto
pretty, but honestly, you know, I have a gut feeling that he probably got rid of it when it hit its peak back in 2017 and then died.
See, so like, that's my problem. Yeah. So my family was like, is big on like investing down into generations. So yeah. My grandparents from when I was little, me and my sister both opened up little like stock accounts for us and would like, as Christmas presents, put money into the stock accounts. Mm-hmm. So those would grow for years and years and years as we grew up.
Yeah.
And they're kind of like Apple, like blue chip stock when it was like back in the 80s, 90s was like Exxon,
mm-hmm.
right? So Exxon, the oil company, was huge, right? And so they were just putting money into this Exxon stock. We just cashed out, Ellie and I did, because, you know, we're looking to get a house, we're trying to liquidate a mm-hmm. lot of stuff. And it was a cool 11,000. And I was like, that's awesome.
That's great.
And then, of course, like I was just like out of curiosity. What if those amount of shares in Exxon were in like Apple in the same time period? I did the math and it was like 200 grand.
Yeah.
And I was like,
fuck you, grandma.
Oh, no. Well, because that's the thing, because you can't even do that, right?
Yeah.
Because it's like if you had put this amount of money into X stock.
Yeah.
To them, that was the blue chip stock.
At the time.
At correct. The time. And of course, like I'm very grateful. That's very thoughtful of them to do that. They did not have to do that. Ellie and I are totally fine without it. But like, it's so nice of them to do that.
Which is why I'm trying to urge you that you should probably get into crypto while it's still early.
Okay, so that's the funny part is I'm just waiting. And the whole moral of the story about the Exxon stock is I sold it just now because it popped up from $70 to about $82 in like 2 days.
Yeah.
And the only reason I wasn't selling it for years and years and years now is I didn't know how to log in. I totally forgot all of the login credentials.
Yeah.
And I finally, it popped up $10, $15. And I was like, I texted my dad. I was like, hey, do we have the login stuff for this? Like, could I sell it? And he was like, yeah, let me see if I can find it. And he found it and I logged in and sold it. And the day ended at like 81, mm-hmm. right? And I sold it, you know, cashed out. And the next day, like if you look at it now, it's like 78 mm-hmm. or like 76. And I'm like, hell yeah.
I felt like
I was like Wolf of Wall Street shit.
Yeah.
I was like, man, I'm on it, dude. I was on it. But all that to say, it's like sometimes it's best to just forget about it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Right, just like, because you can have, there's the guys of the stories, like they find a thumb drive of Bitcoin mm-hmm. from 2008.
Yeah, could you imagine?
And it's like worth billions.
Yeah, you find a flash drive and all of a sudden, you know, there's like, oh, there's just like 100 Bitcoin. That's a lot of money.
That's quite a
chunk of cheddar cheese right there. So,
but we have talked too much about freaking Bitcoin and stuff. We've got about 8 minutes left.
Dude, honestly, you know, I'm going to change our gears a little bit.
Okay, change it up.
This is now officially a Monday episode. We're going to talk this first half about crypto, and then next half we talk about Valentine's Day, and then we'll catch up on each other on the next one. So if you want to cut this out.
You're watching this live. No.
Time travel is real.
This is funny because we usually, and I'll just let the people know out there what goes on here. We try to keep up with the schedule, do Mondays and Fridays on the same day.
Yeah.
And then, you know, have those kind of go into each other.
Yeah.
So that when we post the Monday and then you go to watch the Friday, it's not discontiguous. Correct. Like it's kind of like the same formula.
Because we don't have time to meet up twice a week because we don't live necessarily right next to each
other. Which would be awesome if we did.
Yeah.
That'd be sick. But
Well, you'll be moving closer if you get Woodstock.
Yeah, definitely.
I go to the Woodstock to the gym every day. So, you know, we could change things up. If I'm here. Anyway, we can catch up on Friday about that stuff.
So we'll catch up Friday. But you're watching Switching Gears live here, folks. This is big time
this
stuff.
This is financial advice. And then the second half, we're going to have love advice. So,
oh, gosh. Okay, Mitchell, just listen. You got the show, man.
I wish I had like a soothing voice, you know, talking, you know, like one of those diamond cut commercials is like.
You've got a friend in the diamond business.
Shane Company. I love that commercial. And they changed it.
Did they really?
It's not that anymore. Good. Oh, you memorized the whole thing. Yeah, it's easy. But I think they changed it because they have more locations now.
Do they?
So they couldn't, you know, in Kennesaw or blah, blah.
Okay. They had to shorten it.
Monday through Friday till 8. Saturday and Sunday till 5.
So
online.
Good.
Online. Yeah.
Online. Dude, that's so good.
But
okay, so you want to lead this train. Freaking lead it, dude. What's your next thought? I mean, I can definitely take it if you don't.
No, my next thought. Are we staying on crypto and investing?
Crypto investing.
I'll just go ahead and. I mean, I listen. So there's a podcast that I listen to every Tuesday. It's called Millennial Money.
He's awesome.
Yeah. You've listened.
Oh, is this the guy or is this
four
the channel?
Guys. There's four guys.
Okay.
So this is it's a podcast. It's four guys. They're YouTubers, but they all get together on Tuesdays and they talk just money and things that they're doing. But they're very safe investors. They're not like, oh, I'm going to go put $1 million into Shiba Inu and just, you know, watch it, whatever.
They're not Jake Paul.
Yeah, exactly that. But they've made a lot of money. So one thing that I can give advice for, and I need to start, you know, doing what I'm about to say, is it's always better to just get in the market rather than try to time it.
So correct.
Consistently.
Correct.
Putting money in, regardless of whether it's going up or regardless of when it's going down.
Yes.
If you want to make it a little bit, you know, more edgy, double whatever you put in when it's going down.
Correct. Okay.
But always try and consistently just put money in every single paycheck or every week or whatever you want to do.
So it's funny you mentioned that because I've had to get out of this habit being married and having kind of like a budget. Mm-hmm. I say kind of like a budget. You should see my spreadsheet. It's epic. But actually Google Sheet so we can share it. So In the monthly planning that we do per month, we have a set balance of Roth IRA giving. Because if you split max Roth IRA,
$6,000
a year times two people, it's $1,000 a month to max out both to have that set. And if you do the math, that's $12,000 a year just to a Roth IRA. Now, do some extra math. It's we're behind a few months on Ellie from last year, and we're trying to close out her 2021.
Because it ends what, April?
April. Yeah. April 10th, or whatever tax day is. April 14th? I don't know.
I think it's 14th.
14th.
Yeah.
See, we should know this stuff, but anyway, April.
This is not financial advice, blah, 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 the whole disclaimer.
No. We don't have lawyers, but don't sue us, please. And so it's that much money, and then we have to do extra. So instead of like $1,000 this month, I'm having to double it and do $2,000 this month to catch up, so we're not behind on her for next year.
Yeah.
Right? Because I had already maxed out at the beginning of last year my Roth IRA before we got married. Because I was like, I just don't want this to hit the budget at all. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go ahead and 6K right at the beginning. And then once we make our budget, then I'll account for all that cash. And so, so now it's like, if you look at our spreadsheet, it's like so, because I have total columns for the year, and it's obnoxious how much money. It's like so much money is going to all these random ass places. Like I have like $2,500 to car fixing stuff, just like saving. And then it's like, I can't remember how much taxes, but it's so much taxes, dude. Mm-hmm. It's like almost $40,000 of taxes. I'm like, this is so much money.
That's fucking crazy.
Yeah, it's like so much money.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, I'm probably over-exaggerating. I can't remember how much taxes. No, maybe $20,000?
That sounds about right. I think about the salary that I technically make on paper how much I bring home.
Not even close.
And I even calculate, even with benefits, I mean, after taxes, I mean, I'm paying like $35,000 in tax, $40,000 a year.
Well, and you're single, so you get double screwed.
Yeah.
I don't get as screwed because we're married, so we get a little break for that. But I'm like, dude, I like being single, being you living at home, taking advantage of the fact that you don't have as much overhead. Overpowered.
Shit's getting to my head though. Which we'll talk about. It's getting to my head. Last week, I had a very bad day last week.
Did you really?
And there's nothing that really happened. I was just in my head. I was like, wow, this sucks.
Okay. So let me relate to you real quick.
Sure.
So, still in the vein of money and we're so close to the end. Hold on. I don't want to go over, but let me tell this quick story. So I was filling in my old position, right? I was filling in color chips at Lowe's.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm like, okay, so I went to Georgia Tech with some of the smartest people in the world. Some of my peers in the business school are making six figures right now consulting with like Bain and Company or whatever, EY. And I'm sitting here in Lowe's putting in color chips on the color wall and grandmas are asking me what colors to pick. What the hell am I doing?
It literally,
I was like, what am I doing?
That realization, but in a different way. I'm having the realization that I'm sitting in my fucking childhood bedroom in my mom's house. Yes. So what? I'm making a decent amount. I'm saving money.
Yeah.
But I'm sitting in my fucking childhood bedroom 8 hours a day looking at a computer screen in my 20s.
Yeah. It's like, what are you doing?
In my prime years. Honestly, I should be out. I should be travel. I should be fucking around in terms of like just my life. I just should be out doing crap ton of shit, and I'm sitting here in my childhood bedroom.
Okay, we're gonna catch this right on the other side, but we're gonna catch you right in the halftime show. So see you in just a second. All right, everybody, and welcome to your Manly Man Card halftime episode. And I say manly because we've got two men here.
Manly man.
On the way to manhood, and we're going to talk about stuff that is totally unrelated to anything we've been talking about thus far in the episode, namely this thing right here.
Are we talking about the company or are we talking about just gum?
We're talking about gum, sticks of gum. And the reason I wanted to bring it up is because you've kind of taken hold on this podcast so far, and I want to take it back, all right? Do you remember in middle school or high school when you would come to school with one of these bad boys? And you'd crack it out and you'd go to open it up
and it's gone.
And you would turn into a gum stick dealer.
Yep. Instantly.
Instantly. And you would be king of the classroom.
Yep.
It was almost like a social currency. It was the Bitcoin before Bitcoin was Bitcoin.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately your fame was very short lived. It was only as long as the pack lasted.
Yeah. Which was a class period.
Yeah. Which is a class period, or as long as the flavor lasted, which was less than that.
Yeah.
So I bring that all to say, as speaking of social currency, things you should be investing in, things that you should be buying, there's one place I know where you can definitely get it all.
Where you can invest in some.
Where you can invest in some great stuff for yourself and gifts for others.
Some clothing,
some apparel, as some would say. ManCardPodcast.com.
.com.
Go check it out. We've got a great shop over there. Some great stuff we've added. We've got these mugs, as you see on the table. We've got some great hoodies, beanies, sweatshirts, joggers, which I still need to get. Those are cool. And for all the grill daddies and mommies out there, we've got an awesome Manly Verified stamp apron.
Apron. Staring at it right now.
It's, yeah, I know. It's right there hanging in my kitchen. I use it. I'll tell you that. So go check it out. ManCardPodcast.com. Links to all of our socials as well as YouTube. We're live on YouTube right now. So please go check it out. Support the channel. And we appreciate you. We can't make this happen without you. So in that vein, I'm going to send you back to the main episode.
Ooh, that was in that vein. I'm going to send you back to the main.
Hell yeah, dude.
Hell yeah.
See you in a second. All right, and welcome back to the main part of the episode. Unfortunately, as you can see, I ran out of gum.
Yeah.
So all of my social currency is gone, but in the same thread, thought process of a fake currency, you were just talking about before we had the break about how you're living at home,
yeah,
and you and I both have kind of the similar feeling of like, what am I doing right now?
Yeah, exactly.
It's like
it's different, but it's the same.
Well, you can. Here's the thing about it, though, where I see a little kind of light at the end of the tunnel is you can kind of only go up from here, mm-hmm. right? It's like you're starting. And my parents said this the other day. Like Ellie and I were at my parents' house the other day, and they were just kind of breaking. They know our finances pretty well, and of course, they were thinking of like when they got married and they were buying their first house, like where their finances were, and they were just doing the math, and they said that we are much better off financially than they were when they got married. And so, I mean, that's all you can ask for, right?
Yeah.
It's like being more set up because they did the math of like, well, how much do you guys have? And then, you know, how much do houses cost and how much did we pay for a house? And they put like, I think it was 20 grand down for a house that was like $150,000, $200,000 for their first house,
mm-hmm.
right? And then at the end of the day, it's flash forward to today, $350,000, $400,000, you put $400,000, $40,000 down, 10%. It's like,
yeah,
so
yeah.
We're in the same spot and then we'll have some extra cash left over. So it's like, you know, it's just all fungible. And you think it's like, oh, this market sucks. It's the worst. But really it's like, it's the exact same and you can get more for it.
Do you kind of feel, so you said that your parents said that y'all are in a better financial situation than they were when they were
buying the house. Or the same or better.
But do you kind of feel like you are less prepared than they were? Like, I mean, maybe they were sitting there thinking the same thing when they were our age, but Me and Bella had this conversation. We were sitting there thinking like, we're kind of like in this rut or like,
yeah.
you know, we're kind of just sucking at life. Life just doesn't feel like it should be.
I know why.
And we don't know how to necessarily get out. We feel like, you know, the world is just doing great. Everyone knows what the fuck to do.
Okay.
And,
so I think that's the problem, right?
Okay.
There. So,
the world knows what they're doing.
Right. And okay. So what you just described is a phenomenon that I think has only come to fruition with the existence of the interconnectedness of our generation. Right. Without social media, without LinkedIn, literally, I avoid going on LinkedIn because it makes me feel trash about where I am in my career progression. Because I literally look at somebody and I'm like, and he's working. It's a Bishop from Georgia Tech. Super nice guy. SAE. What a classic, dude. Old row, but super nice. Gentleman's gentleman. Right. And he's working at the, I don't know if you've heard of this, the company that's 3D printing rockets. And I'm like, okay, well. Yeah. All right, there goes my day. You know, it's like I feel like trash because this guy's literally 3D printing rockets.
Yeah.
And I'm here, you know, selling paint.
Well, I think that, honestly, I need to get off social media because that's what I'm seeing too. I'm seeing, like, I see a lot of memes now, but it's so true that people are making, like, my salary selling the NFTs.
Correct.
They're making my salary selling little things on fucking Alibaba.
Like, Logan Paul drives me crazy because he's like, I've got 20 million in my crypto wallet. And I'm like, that's more money than I'm going to see in 10 lifetimes.
Yeah.
And you've just got it sitting on just pixels online.
He dropped, what, like 4 mil on Pokemon cards, and then it ended up being fake Pokemon cards.
Or it was like, G.I. Joe card. Wasn't it like G.I. Joe cards?
There's G.I. Joe cards in the Pokemon things. And then he's like, that sucks.
Whatever.
I'm like, yeah, that would put me into some depression right there. 4 million or whatever.
That's crazy.
Million, period.
But I think like you're dead on the point where it's like we are, as a generation, unfortunately, leaving ourselves behind, right? Whereas my parents, they weren't as interconnected with everybody. And I think it behooved them. They felt like, oh man, I feel like I'm kind of behind. But you can only be so comparative, right? You can only compare it to the people who you're like, directly associated with.
Yeah, so they probably didn't feel that as much. They might have been like, oh, we're right on track. We're above. We're killing it.
We're killing it, right? And so it's like, for us, we go to buy houses, and now we're so interconnected that we know now it's like, I'm one of 30 offers that are going on this house.
Yeah.
And I can go on Zillow later and see how much it sold for. Oh, it sold $40,000 above asking. Nope, couldn't afford that. You know, so it's like, we are so in the know, and with so much knowledge, I think is kind of the Achilles heel of our generation. Like, we have too much information where it's making us feel like we are not achieving anything.
Well, in that aspect, it's nice because you can justify that. Because you can justify, right. Oh, it's, you know, I see everybody else succeeding, and that's the downfall, is I'm comparing myself. In my situation, I just sit there and think, I'm going to regret. If I sit in my childhood house for the next year or whatever, I'm going to be like 35 and be like, wow, I wish I could be 20 in my 20s again.
Yeah.
And what did I do in my 20s? Yes, I saved great money. I was probably making the smart financial decision, but like, I'm never getting these years back, ever.
So I met with John last week, and unfortunately we didn't record. We literally just talked for hours. And then Ellie came in, and then we kept talking, right? We were just all talking about life and his trip, right, to Europe, which he said was awesome.
Yeah.
But here's the problem. And he said this very clearly. He was like, he was kind of, and he admitted this to me, which I want to get him back on so he can like talk more about it. Cause I love John to death, but he was saying like, he was kind of like running. He was just kind of running, right? Like going, cause he was at an interesting point in his life when he decided to go on that trip. And I'll let him tell that part of the story. Cause it's not my story to tell, but you know, it's like for him, it was not really like, he's not really living how he wants to live. Right. He's like, he's kind of just like going all the time. And there's like, he can hardly breathe. Right. Mm-hmm. And so as much as we think like, oh man, I wish I was just traveling, wish I was going, wish I was moving.
I wish I was in that situation.
Right.
He wishes the opposite.
Right. So he just wishes for something different. And so it's like, even if you guys switch shoes, the grass is always going to be greener on the other side of the fence. Mm-hmm. And so like, I think coming to terms with contentment, right. I think that's an underrated word. Yeah. Do you know what that means?
Yeah, contentment.
Just being happy with where you are and what you have, right? And so I've had to, from the moment I had that realization of like, what am I doing? I'm putting in paint chips on a color wall. It's like, well, yeah, of course. Of course I'm doing that. That's where I am right now. That's my job. And that's where I'm going to be until the next thing comes. And so being able to just sit in a moment and say like, just take inventory and say, okay, I've got this going on. I'm very happy, happily married to a wonderful wife. I've got great prospects. I'm growing my sales repertoire. You know, I'm putting into the grunt work to be able to build that future for myself later. Instead of saying like, this is garbage, I hate this, you know, just having a negative output on it. I'm going, okay, this is actually good for me right now, because I can focus on what's most important, which is my wife, growing a family, getting set up financially for the future. All of that's way more important than frivolous trips or big flashy job or car.
That's fair.
Which I sold, which I think I mentioned on a previous episode, but yeah, she's still sold.
Yeah. She's still gone.
She's still gone. I'm still driving.
Thanos snapped her out of existence and she ain't coming back.
I know. I'm still driving my parents' old car.
I would milk that as long as I could.
Well, here's the funny part is we got Ellie her new car. It's a new car. It's a 2013 Nissan Pathfinder with like 128,000 miles on it. So it's like, you know, we got it for like out the door 10 grand. So we're still up, because I sold my Jeep for like 28 grand. So we're still up 18 grand, right? And so I'm like, okay, well, I got her car fixed up, right, from all the issues that it was having, because all it needed really was to just,
oh shoot! Get two new tires. Have y'all not sold that car yet?
Mm-mm, no.
Oh well, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm just gonna end up driving that car. It's got like great gas mileage. I fixed it up. It's getting two new tires on it tomorrow. It's gonna be golden.
What is it? It's a Jeep. What?
Yeah, 2015 Jeep Patriot.
How many miles?
94.
What do you think you're gonna sell for?
I mean, I've had it posted forever on Facebook for like a week and a half on Facebook Marketplace.
What do you sell for?
Like 15.
Okay.
It's in the range.
Yeah.
For miles and well maintained, it's pretty good price.
I mean, even worse case, if you don't mind driving it, why don't you just keep it and drive it?
So that's what I'm doing now.
Yeah.
Is I'm about to take it off Facebook Marketplace and just drive
deal it. Deal with it. Yeah.
And just be up 18 grand.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, why not?
Because that's it gets smart. Great gas mileage. It's low miles. It's not going to have any problems. It's a four-cylinder. Gets good gas mileage. Like,
yeah, that's smart.
Like, there's no problems that's with smart. It. So I'm just going to do that. And then my parents can have their old car back. And I'm like, all right, great. I mean, if somebody came along tomorrow and was like, I'll buy that car from you for 15 grand, I would say, great, here you go. Here's tax, tag, and title. Be on your way. I would immediately turn around, though, and buy a Volkswagen
Golf.
Sport wagon. I found a new car that I like more.
It's the Sport wagon.
It's like a Volkswagen. It's like a wagon car.
Yeah. It's one of those long body ones.
Long body ones. And a turbo diesel. And so it gets like 40 miles to the gallon, seats like 5, and has a bunch of cargo space for all your luggage. So it's a killer road trip car. But that's the thing. It's like, I don't want to necessarily then go out and spend another 10 grand again. I'd still be up more money in the grand scheme of it, but I'm like, it just doesn't make any sense. So I'm just going to probably end up keeping it, driving it. It'll be great.
All right. So I kind of want to go back just because I thought of it when we were talking about it, but I didn't bring it up. Your Roth IRA accounts.
Oh, yeah, right.
So y'all are investing and you're getting caught up. My question is, do you have someone or do you invest in your Roth IRA account? Because you can put it in an account mm-hmm. and leave it there, but it's not going to do anything.
Right. It's like a bank account.
Yeah. Are you personally investing things or do you have someone that does that or does your parents do that or what?
No,
what
is,
what's y'all's
so plan I've, in that? I've consulted with my dad about this, about like all the different basket funds and all the different mutual funds and mixed account, whatever.
Yeah.
And I have a probably like 8, 9, or 10 different like basket mutual funds that I have split up between Ellie and my Roth IRAs. And I literally go in each month, $500 to each account, split it up between and if anything's down huge, like down really
more,
big,
I'll
tilt a little bit more percentage of that.
Okay. That's all fund. I want to ask because my friend Blake, granted, I've come to find out that he hasn't even set up a Roth IRA account, but this whole time I thought he had a Roth IRA account. He said he was putting money in it. 24, almost 25.
25, okay.
Yeah, and so and I was like, what are you putting in it? Like, where are you putting the money?
He needs to get started now.
Yeah, no shit.
The best time was a long time ago, but the next best time is right now.
And a lot of people just don't realize they put this money in a Roth IRA account and they're like, oh yeah, I'm doing great. It's like, no, like there's still an aspect of it. What you just did is the exact same thing as putting it into a savings account.
Oh, exactly.
If you don't,
it's actually worse because some savings account even gets you like a little tiny percentage back.
0.01% or
this
something.
This one is like you shoved it under your mattress and are doing nothing with
exactly.
it.
Exactly. So you got to make sure it's going in different places. Yeah. So just wanted to clarify on that.
Oh, definitely.
Sure. I assumed you were definitely smarter than just to be like, oh yeah, we're putting it in and we're just going to wait.
I don't want to say that I'm smarter. I think it's just that my dad has...
Yeah.
Spend a lot of time making sure I've been up to speed on all that is investing.
Mm-hmm.
At least enough to get me as a lazy millionaire. You gotcha. Know what I mean? Because that's just like, because I started my Roth IRA when I was 18,
mm-hmm.
right? So it's been growing since I was 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24. Oh, yeah. So 24.
It's probably got a killing in there right now.
So,
it's pretty good.
It's pretty good. But that's the thing, pretty good. Right, it doesn't look like hardly at anything at all.
Mm-hmm.
Right, if you just do the math,
yeah,
and you're just like, well, that's just not that much, right? Because it's only had the very short amount of years to grow.
Yeah, 6,000 times what? You know, 6 years.
6 years. That's it.
Yeah,
and it's greater than that a little bit, but it's not much.
Yeah,
not much. So it's like that's the trouble a lot of people get in. Like I was talking to one associate in Lowe's, and Lowe's is retail, so it's like You just get a ton of different people going through that, whether they work there or come into the store. And I was talking to one associate, and she was talking to me about like, oh, okay, yeah, she has stuff invested in this account with Lowe's. They have the program because they're a company. And she was saying, how can I move the money that's in that account into an account that's more accessible?
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking like, well, like why would you... my brain was kind of short-circuiting because I was like, why would you want to access it? And she answered me and she said, oh, well, we're about to do a family vacation and I want to use some of that money to go on a family vacation.
Yeah.
And so her IRA, her retirement fund, mm-hmm. she wants to take some of that money and use it on a vacation now.
Stupid. Yeah.
And I'm like, how much is the vacation? And she was like, I don't know, 5-6 grand. It's like, holy shit. Like you are like, if you take that 5 and 6 grand, extrapolate that out, you're literally robbing like $100,000 from yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not that much probably, but like 70,000.
No, no. Yeah.
Like
I mean,
70, 80, 90,000.
Depending on how long
they
keep it in there. Yeah.
Yeah. So like you're robbing yourself of money. And I told her in not mincing words at all. I was like, do not do that and leave it, please.
Yeah.
And then my colleague who works with me walked up and he was like, what's going on? I was like, oh, she's about to, and he was like, oh yeah, don't do that.
Sell a fucking
don't
kidney. Do
that. First. Yeah, right.
Like, honestly,
exactly.
You got
like,
two.
And here's what, and that's the thing is like people think that like they watch it and they're like, oh, it's not going anywhere. And then because it hasn't reached the tipping point mm-hmm. of compound interest, because it's going to look like it's doing nothing until it starts to just go straight up.
Yeah.
And so, you know, people just get impatient and they're like, I got to take it out. And they penalize you, dude. They penalize you when you take stuff out of that account because they know they're like, this is the next best thing. You know, it's a good account. You know, it's a good account when two things happen. One, they penalize you when you take out of it. And at the same time, they limit what you put into it.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. Imagine if they didn't limit what you put into it. I'd put everything into it. It would be my savings account.
Right, like, exactly. You would put all that money in and it would just boom, just go straight through the roof.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, no, sorry, it's too much of a hack. Can't do that.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's like this great thing that we've created over here, you know, the American experiment. It's like, you can't invest too much into it because it's just too overpowered.
Of course.
And I'm like, it's just the easiest way for like if you're raising kids or just a good value to instill in saying, we want you to be like financially secure when you're in your 50s and 60s.
Yeah.
So be a lazy millionaire and just do this. Don't even think about it. Just do it.
If I'm not mistaken, you can start a Roth IRA account at any point in your lifetime.
Correct. Right? You can start
when you're born. Yes. Yeah.
But I think there's a problem with that where it's like you can only, it's like super limited. And at the same time, I don't think there's something with it.
So I think if I have kids, the second they're born, I'll be like, all right, you know, give me the birth certificate, give me the Roth IRA account.
So here's a better thing to do when they're born is do a college fund. So that's what my parents did. The second my sister and I were born, they started college funds for both of us. And it was growing up until when we went to college. And then they cashed out those funds for us and then got to use it on us.
Is that a specific account though that's made for that? Or did they just put it in a savings account?
No, there's like a CRT. It's like a specific like college savings fund or whatever. But it's kind of like, it's the same thing as like a Roth IRA where it's not taxed, but it goes specifically into that to be used on school.
Yeah.
And so my sister's going out of state to Auburn. So that obviously the barrier to entry to Auburn out of state is going to be higher.
Yeah.
And I went in state to Georgia Tech, was an RA, had free housing, free meal plan.
Yeah.
Like books, class, everything was free except for like fees pretty much. So my college experience every single year was like a couple $1,000.
Yeah.
Maybe. If even that. And so they got to the end of my college experience and were like, well, we didn't really tap out all of your college fund or we used a good portion of it, so I'm glad you did all that. Now we can take the rest of it and give it to your sister. And I was like, oh, sweet. Have fun.
Yeah.
In Auburn.
Go right ahead.
Yeah. I was like, man, if I knew that was an option, I would get an apartment by myself in Auburn.
And yeah.
That's awesome. Although she's like, oh, man, it kind of sucks because COVID, and they don't let you hang out with people.
And really? Still?
Yeah. Well, when she was in
Auburn?
Well, she was a freshman when it was like peaking in 2020, right? So
they like, don't still do that, do they?
I don't think so.
I don't even think Georgia Tech does, and we are hella more liberal.
Well, that's the same thing. So Gavin and Eric, or not Eric, I don't think Eric was an RA anymore, but Gavin was talking to me the last year he was an RA before he quit, and he was like, yeah, he would walk to the bathroom, and co-RAs would yell at him for not wearing a mask to go pee for 30 seconds. And I'm like, oh, damn. And that's the same thing that was happening at Auburn with my sister is like, they didn't host events. They didn't get people together. They didn't do any socializing things. So she was just kind of by herself for the whole year and like nothing happened.
That was the best year to be an RA for me. I didn't have to do shit.
Yeah. Well,
I didn't do shit when I needed to, but I didn't do anything when they're like, yeah, you got to do online events. I was like, no one's going to show up. I'm not doing that.
Or just say people showed up and then,
what's your evidence?
You know, it's like, yeah.
Absolutely.
But it's like, but it's obnoxious because I feel bad for her at the same time. But then it's like, oh, you have a really cool, unique college experience. And you'll talk about it to your kids for generations. I got kicked out of my college experience. I had to leave, right? Because, mm-hmm. Graduating 2020. And then it's like, and then at the end of hers, at the beginning of hers, she's going to be like, well, I couldn't get with people at all.
Yeah.
So it's just odd. But anyway, college funds, invest in your kids. That's for sure.
Yeah. It's kind of funny. I know I sent it to you this week. My net worth is now $8.
Dude, yeah. Isn't that crazy? I saw that. We'll flash it on the screen right here.
Bam.
Bam.
$8.
$8. Well, because you sent me that, and I immediately was like, I wonder what my net worth is. And so I went into Fidelity has a like a net worth calculator where you can add in non-Fidelity accounts. And I definitely don't want to say it on screen,
but
I'll show you afterwards. If you're interested.
Oh, it's money. I'm interested.
Yeah. Right.
Period. You know me, you know what I'm driven by.
Well, so this is a funny thing that I experienced when I was younger. So Evans, obviously my best friend, right? We grew up together. And when I was at his house, I was with another kid that I was friends with, Matthew McKelvey. Shout out Matthew. What's up, dude? I think he's doing app development right now.
Oh, that's a great market. That's a great place.
Great place to be. But he went to tech, right? Mm-hmm. And, but before that, we were in high school together and middle school together. So we would obviously go to Evans's house, hang out. And Evans in his closet at this time, we were best friends. So like what's his is mine, mine is his kind of thing. And so he had a cigar box in his closet in middle school and high school, right? And next to it was like his money. Like he had money in his closet. And of course, like I'm a really honest kid. I'm not going to steal money from him. That's not mine. It's my best friend. It's your money. And so we were doing something like messing around in his closet, like around his money or whatever. And this was like one of two or three times where his dad got on to me as the friend for doing that. And so he was like, don't get in somebody else's money. Like that's his stuff or whatever he said. And it just really stuck out to me as unique because I'm like why wouldn't we want to talk about that? You know, like why is that so such a touchy private
topic. That's what I'm
like
saying.
People will talk about what their sexual identity is before they'll talk about how much money they make.
Honestly, anyone ask me a question, I'll answer anything about my money. I'll tell definitely. You I'm broke as a joke. I said, my net worth, I am in the positive for once in my life.
Yeah.
Like I'm not negative anymore. I owed a lot of money to a lot of people. I have now, even though I haven't paid them back yet, I have $8 to my name that I can go and do whatever I want with.
And be careful saying that out loud. That means you have the money to pay them back. Because, sorry, I'm broke. Don't have any money.
It's in my Roth IRA account. I can't do it. Deductions, yeah. You know, slap on the wrist. I lose a finger
taxes,
every time.
Taxes. The lawyers, they'll get after me. But that's the thing. It's like, you know, we're so touchy about money. Mm. We're so uptight about money. And it drives me up a wall. Because I'll be in an interview, right? And I'll just say, they're like, oh, what do you think about salary? And I'm like, let me just tell you exactly where I'm at right now.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't help.
They don't like to talk about that on like one of the first interviews. Like, that's just an inappropriate question to ask. Because it's like,
no,
why am I working this job? I'm working the job for money. I'm not like,
I'm
yes, I might like it.
Exactly how much money I'm making so that you can know how much I'm making. And then you can go, oh, this is a little, this is less than what you're making now. So you won't want it.
Yeah, and then also you want to play your cards right because obviously if you say, you know, if you're applying to a job that on average makes 90K and you're making 60 and you're like, I'm making 60K right now, they'll be like, oh yeah, well we can offer you 70 when they could have done 90. So you play your cards smart there. But yes, I agree. I feel like why did it get so private?
Yeah.
When did it get so private? I assume it got private back years ago because my parents still say it's inappropriate to talk about money.
Well, my parents,
it's like,
I don't think my dad specifically come out and said like, it's bad to talk about money, but he does the same thing where it's like an interview. You don't want to say it. And I'm like, because I'm always interviewing for things just because I have a job. And it's when you have a job, it's the best time to interview for jobs.
Yeah,
because you're not worried about getting that job, so you're more kind of like, you know, interviewing them than them interviewing you almost. Yeah. And so I just interviewed like I think last week, and I was like, you know what? He asked me, he's like, well, what do you think about, you know, salary? And I was like, well, this is exactly what I'm making right now. Mm-hmm. And he said, actually, that's great. Because I had done the research before to see what he was going to say. Yeah. And he said, yeah, you know, this job comes in right at around 100,000, like, you know. Bam. So, and I was like, bam, that's great. And it was spot on with what I had done research for. And I'm like, great, that's awesome. That would be amazing. And he was like, yeah, definitely. So, you know, I know you'd like it on that front. And then he started just selling the company. You know, like money
Boom,
was kind
it's
of
out of the way.
All out of the way. Didn't even have to think about it anymore. And we just started talking about him, like the company.
Yeah.
And it was just more interesting.
And you don't have to worry about that. You don't sit there. It's also like a quick red flag thing. It's for you and the employer. Yeah. So the employer could sit there and just be like, you know, or just even for you in general, you ask about the salary because let's just say you bring it up. It becomes normal for you to ask the question instead of the, you know, interviewer.
Yeah.
How much money does this thing make? They tell you, oh, it only makes like 30K. You're like, boom, you know, You know that you don't care about the job, or you know they ask you the question, how much you make? You tell them how much you make, because who cares?
Yeah.
They're like, oh, you know, I'm going to be honest with you. You know, the job wouldn't pay that much. Are you still even interested? Then you can just save time.
Save like, so much time.
Just, like,
well, that happened another time where I was interviewing for a job. And I know we're kind of right here at the end.
Yeah, go on.
But
finish it up.
But I was like, I was interviewing for a position, you know, and I had this job that I have now.
Yeah.
And they were like, well, this position offers this much. And I was like, well, I'm actually making like $15,000 more than that.
Exactly, yeah.
And they were like, well, you know, we could offer, and they offered me like literally like $1,500 more than what they said. And I was like,
guys, you're forgetting a zero.
You're forgetting it. Like, I said $15,000 more. And they were like, oh, well, that's the best we can do. And I was like, well, hey, appreciate your time. You know, obviously,
there, boom.
Appreciate it. Thanks so much. And I'll definitely recommend the company for other people that I know.
Yeah.
And then that was it. No hard feelings. And I was like, it just made it much more simple. It was like, okay, well, that's the end of the conversation. Like, there's no more that needs to be said. So, yeah, moral of the story, just be honest about it.
Yeah.
Just be honest. Like, I don't know. It's just so hard because then you have to play a facade. You got to try to sell yourself up. You're stressed. Do they actually think that I'm better than I am?
Yeah.
It's like, no. Can you do this? No, I can't.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll train you.
Well, see, like, I get why, and I'll say this last thing. I get why it's private to an extent. But I feel like if you're asked about it, it shouldn't be one of those things that like you're uncomfortable to answer. It shouldn't be, oh, that's rude of you to answer. But like, I see why they keep it private, because obviously if you have coworkers, someone's been working there a little longer and you're getting paid a little more, or they're getting paid a little more and you're like, I'm doing more work or something. That's when you can have an issue. But like, if some dude just comes up and be like, hey, how much money are you making a year? The fact that some people are like, wow, why would you ask me that? It's like, dude, I will tell you right now. I'll tell you exactly. I'll tell you every little detail in that sign, that thing I signed.
Yeah.
Because I don't care.
Because it's good insight. And then it's like, there was a TikTok where it was like, this guy was like, hey, how much money do you make? Oh, how'd you buy that house?
Did this
thing? And they're all like, oh, why are you asking? That's rude. And then he becomes like a very poor spender later in life, and everybody's ridiculing him about, well, why didn't you ask about good money tips? And he was like, well, I tried to, but all of you just wouldn't tell me anything. Yeah. So moral of the story, be honest, folks. Be honest to yourself and help others out for sure. You know, take an RA position. It humbles you. Yeah, that's for sure.
God.
But we will see you on Friday, and we look forward to seeing you then. Tune in, see the new episode. And definitely don't forget mancardpodcast.com. We'll see you next time. Peace.